to the National Review Podcast, the official podcast for thenationalreview.com. This is episode 31 for the week of May the 5th. My name is Colm, and of course there's no I in the word podcast, so I am not here alone. I am here with the heart and soul of thenationalreview.com. He's the one. He's the only. He's Charlie Flegel.
Hello, Colm. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Tuning in. How you doing, Colm?
I'm doing excellent. I mean, first place feels pretty good.
Yeah, and we're watching the Nats get killed by the Dodgers tonight. But hopefully, you know, the Braves just made a, let's call it an error on the base pass to not score in the ninth. So they're still tied with the, or I guess they're up by one in the eighth. So hopefully the Braves can lose and we can keep our lead. But at this point.
Now, I'm assuming you did not watch the full game last night.
I was on my couch with the game on,
uh-huh.
And I dozed off. So they were winning when I fell asleep, and then I woke up, and Johnny and Ray were talking, and they were still winning, and the game was over, so I was happy. Wow. But I missed McLouth smashing into the wall,
yeah,
and hurting his hand, not yeah, badly. I missed the other two runs, but I didn't miss the Rendon home run at the beginning.
He is is this kid for real? He is amazing.
He's so good. But before we get into that, well, first of all, quick announcement. We did not miss the episode we were doing it every 2 weeks. We didn't miss the episode 2 weeks ago. We just didn't publish it.
Correct.
Colm and I went to the game. We did about 10 minutes of talking.
15
minutes of talking.
Look at that.
Yeah. At the stadium at Nats Park, and we didn't really feel like it was enough to just publish. So, since schedules kept us from meeting until our regular time, we're just going to stick it at the end of this one so you guys can listen to our perspective from a couple weeks ago when the team was doing not as well and we had had a couple beers already.
Right. And there's something you can hear in a little bit of the sounds of the park. A little
yes,
bit.
And you get to hear our buddy at SA51 on Twitter, who did all the t-shirt designs.
That's right.
But speaking of us having beers at the game, do you have anything to drink right now?
Yes, actually. Out of my Superman glass right now, I've poured in a 60-minute IPA from Dogfish Head.
Quality. One of the guy who brews, who's the head brewer, was just one of the finalists for the James Beard Award.
That's right. I read that recently. Isn't that incredible? You know what's also, I just finished watching episode one of Chug, the Kickstarter you and I both backed, and it made me really want a beer.
I'm going to watch it as soon as we're done with this. I'm a big fan.
Oh, I'm so happy to see it back. I mean, if you love Three Sheets, you'll love Chug because it's pretty much exactly the same show. So there you go. Spoilers.
So Chug, I'm definitely going to watch. Yep. Another random. Oh, let me tell you what I'm drinking before.
What are you drinking?
So I'm drinking an Avery from Boulder, Colorado.
Like Steve Avery.
Like Steve Avery. India Pale Ale. Huh. Avery Brewing IPA actually has a map of. It's kind of funny. It doesn't tell the story of IPAs, I don't think, on it. I'm looking at the bottle. But other bottles I've drank from have, and apparently they're like super hoppy because it kept better on the ships, and so they would brew them in Britain and send them to India, and that's why they were hoppy, and so that's why they're IPAs, because they were the pale ales made to go to India. But it does have a map of like the Eastern Hemisphere and a red like Indiana Jones style line
from
England through the water around to India. So
amazing.
It doesn't really give context, but luckily my drinking in the past has told me what context, what it's for. And I would say it's pretty good. It's super, like, it's not super alcoholic. It's not super, super hoppy. But when you first taste it, you're like, wow, that's an IPA. But then it doesn't have much of a bitter aftertaste, which is kind of nice. You get the upfront hoppiness, and then it kind of goes away.
Right. Interesting.
So I do like it. I just took another sip. Before, what else? Oh, one random thing.
Yes.
So, there is a band that I've become a big fan of.
Oh, who?
They are
always looking for new stuff. I mean, as you are, we are both huge Spotify fans.
Yes, and you can find them on Spotify, Coleman. I'm hoping we're going to – hopefully people have already heard them because hopefully we have introed their music as the intro for this episode. But besides that song, there's another song that they wrote. Oh, so the band is called a ridiculous name, J. Roddy Walston and the Business. But it's not a made-up name. Like, J. Roddy Walston is the lead singer and lead piano player and plays guitar. And the business part is just humorous to me. But they are semi-local. They came from, I think Walston came from Tennessee, but they moved to Baltimore like 10 years ago and have been basically based out of Baltimore. And recently they've gotten much bigger. They're sort of a weird...
Oh, I found them. Is Heavy Bells the song you're speaking of?
So Heavy Bells is... I put out a tweet the other day, and it was just like, J. Roddy Walston and the Business, and I used their Twitter hash. I said, Heavy Bells should be Heath Bell's theme song.
Like that's great.
Comes in from... Because he's heavy.
Right.
Bell, I mean, it seems kind of obvious. So I just tweeted that out and included them. And... J. Roddy Walston favorited it and followed me.
Really?
So my first professional musician follower or
there
successful professional musician follower. So because of that, I'm going to have a song. The song that you heard coming in is from them.
Uh-huh.
Knock on wood, hopefully, because we're recording this before we figure out the music.
No problem.
And then maybe we'll take a little break in between our conversation tonight and – our recording of last week's In the Park conversation.
That's a great idea.
To play some Heavy Bells for everybody. So nice. Stay tuned for Heavy Bells, and you won't be able to get it out of your head whenever you watch Heath Bell come in. He's no longer a closer.
Right.
But, you know, actually, I think the Rays just cut him. So.
Oh, wow. So he's not coming out to any. He might be coming out of the shower to this song.
Right. Well, maybe he'll come out. In AAA Syracuse.
No, that's cool, because I'm definitely going to check these guys out. It looks like they got a lot of tracks on here.
Yeah, so they're a little weird. They're rock and roll, but I'd almost say they're like semi-alt country.
Nice.
They're like, they got kind of a southern swing, southern feel to them, but they're definitely not country music.
But yeah, here it says it's classic southern rock Americana.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't confuse them for Lynyrd Skynyrd or the Allman Brothers, so... That may be a little deceptive. They're definitely much more modern than that. And a little, you know, they've got a little bit of that weird hipster vibe to them, too. But a couple of their songs I really like. So
nice.
Hopefully see the tweet of this podcast. They'll listen in and they'll be thrilled that we played their music for everybody that's listening. And now, 10 minutes into the podcast,
yep.
11, let's talk about the Nets.
Let's talk about the first place Washington Nationals, who everyone's always, they're not looking that great, blah, blah, blah. They look fine.
First place, maybe, and by the time we're talking about this, may not be
true,
but at the moment, they're in first place.
Correct.
And the fact is, when we're talking right now, they have, I think there's like three teams in the NL that have more wins than them. So,
correct.
They're playing fine, but they're playing better than fine because when you think about, you know, the injuries to this team are really on the offensive side, right?
Yep.
They're without Bryce. They're without Zimmerman. They've been without Ramos. They're number four in runs in the NL.
Yep.
They're fourth in runs, third in on base, fourth in slugging, third in OPS, and fourth in home runs.
Wow.
This offense is fine.
Right, and plus I read a stat that, too, when they score four or more runs, they're undefeated.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it. Now, their pitching is great, too.
Oh, so good.
It's really recovered. They have the second best ERA in the NL.
I'm not surprised.
Although, after...
We knew that's what it would be. Once these pitchers settle in, the season starts going, they're going to fill their roles, and it's over.
Yeah, so consider them top five by the time you listen to this.
I mean, is it true or not that the worst pitcher now on the Nets so far is Strasburg, and he's not even pitching terrible.
Well, not only is he not pitching terrible, I believe I wrote about this earlier. He's got His like ex-FIP or his FIP, which I'm not going to get into the definition, but FIP is fielding independent pitching, is basically they take things and come up with this, a thing that's analogous to ERA, so that the number comes out similar to ERA, but it's based on your strikeouts and the home runs that you've given up and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. He's top five in the league.
Wow.
And so what that tells you isn't that, oh, he should be the best guy, because no, he didn't have great, you know, stuff every time he pitched, and he didn't have great outings. But what it right. does tell you is that his peripherals suggest he's gonna do much better, yeah. right? And right. so his ex-FIP, which is a more complicated version of FIP, is third in all of baseball behind wow. Jose Fernandez and Tanaka. Some of that is probably overweighted because he's got the most strikeouts and he's got the best K per nine. But the point is, even he's doing great. And his ERA is now down to 3.6. It was at like 5.2
right.
two starts ago. So he looks like he's settled in.
Right.
You know, the worst pitcher in terms of ERA on the team is probably Roark right now.
Right.
And he's really only had one bad start.
True. He had a game, what are you, a three-hitter two starts ago?
Yeah, I mean.
Where he looked great.
He's been really good. He's been, you know, the problem with, so Roark's ERA plus is probably, you know, his ERA plus is probably below 100. Uh-huh. The problem is he had, I think his second start he went, didn't get through the fifth inning, and he gave right. up five runs. And then his last start, he gave up seven runs. So, all right, but he's made six starts, and four of them have been great.
Right.
And exactly. so he, you know, he looks like he's the real deal.
Right.
But keep in mind that second place ERA includes when Taylor Jordan, you know, this is the whole team, so it includes all the horrible games by Taylor Jordan.
Right.
So their ERA is fine. The problem is they're second in ERA, but they're seventh in runs allowed per game.
Right.
Their defense has been really bad.
Why? I don't understand.
So I have a theory about this.
All right.
So as Desmond goes, so goes the team.
Really?
Desmond has 9 errors, I believe. And the team, he has like a third of the team's errors. And so what I think is happening is if you take away all of Desmond's errors, the team is sort of in the middle of the pack with defense. It just looks a lot worse because of what Desmond has done. And you go, well, you know, how can you take away all his errors? Well, you can't, but if they had a shortstop that hadn't committed any errors yet, and fully a third of the shortstops in the league only have one or no errors right now.
Right.
So if you had a guy that didn't have any errors playing shortstop, you'd look at their defense and you go, oh, it's, you know, middle of the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because of Desmond, it looks much worse. Now,
right, that's what you're saying.
The thing about Desmond is he actually has done this the past few years where he's gotten a bunch of errors at the beginning of the season, and then he settles in.
Right.
And so I'm looking at the stats right now, and not counting tonight's game, the Nats have the fifth most errors in the league with 27, but 8 of those are Desmond's. And if they only had 19, they'd be down to almost in the top 10, top 12 in terms of least number of errors. So, you know, I think Desmond kind of makes that look way worse than it is.
Right.
And every year, the last 3 or 4 years, Desmond has a bunch of errors early in the season, and then he settles in. And I think he's had one error in the last week and a half to 2 weeks. So if he has settled in, I think barring the occasional game like tonight's game where they gave up a couple, where they had a couple errors, I think for the most part they're actually going to be fine with that. You know, they have solid fielders. You know, you look at the defense, you know, whether Espinosa's playing right now with Espinosa at second and Rendon at third and LaRoche at first, you have solid fielders all around there. And if Desmond settled in, he's solid. The unpredictability will be what Zimmerman brings with his throwing shoulder.
Hmm.
But
okay.
I'm not too concerned about that. It's painful to watch.
Right, right.
It's painful to watch. So But the good news is they do have some people coming that are going to help them out.
Yes, they do have some people coming. I'm pretty excited about it as well.
So today, Blake Treinen started, and he looked good.
He did.
But it'll be the only time he starts for a little while.
Right. He throws pretty hard, that guy.
Yeah, he looked good today. Yeah. The rest of the team came in and crapped all over his great start.
Right.
But he looked good. But Doug Pfister will be back.
Oh, yeah. So what's going on? He's finally back. He feels good, or they don't know yet? Is he going to come back and then disappear again?
Pfister is in. He's in Friday.
All right.
I think he's going to be fine. It's not like, you know, what happened in the spring was he hurt something. He hadn't really pitched much when he hurt something. You know, now something could happen. You never know. But he's been pitching. He threw, you know, 75 pitches or something a couple days ago in a real game in the minors. It wasn't just he wasn't like down in, you know, Florida with the extended spring training. He was pitching in a real game in the minors. So he's supposedly been going at full speed, full whatever. So they should be
good. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for him to like come to this team and hopefully the offense like plays good when he starts, cause that could really set him off.
Yeah. And the thing about him is, so yeah, he shouldn't be the best pitcher on the team. If he is, it might tell you something's wrong with the other pitchers, but at the same time, he was really the biggest acquisition this offseason. He was the guy that everybody went, oh my God, the Nats have the best pitching staff in baseball.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see him just because he's like, you know, he's the guy that hopefully puts them over the edge.
Did he get a ring with Detroit or no?
Yeah, well, he was on Detroit in 2011 and 2012.
Okay.
So his postseason experience was they lost in the World Series in 12, and they didn't make it to the World Series in 11 or 13.
So he wasn't there in 10.
No, he wasn't there in 10. Okay. He was on Seattle, if you remember.
That's right.
And back in 10, he wasn't very good. And then in 11, he was awesome with Seattle. And there was sort of the fear that, is this just Seattle park effects? And then he's been awesome ever since. Helps that he doesn't put the ball up in the air, so the park doesn't really matter.
It's true. That is very true. He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's not small.
No.
So who else is coming back?
Yeah, so who else are we getting?
Well, Scott Hairston, who dropped the pop-up.
That's right. So what's he going to play for us?
Well, he's playing left field. He played tonight.
Okay. So, that's right. He was in there tonight.
And he did have his first hit of the season last night. It was a little rinky-dink chopper past third was his first hit, I think, or in between. I think the shortstop actually grabbed his first hit, but it was far enough away that he couldn't throw him out in time.
Talk about Jerry?
Scott, Jerry's brother Scott, he's a righty, right? So assuming he does what he's supposed to and nobody else gets hurt, you probably see a fairly consistent platoon between him and McLeod.
Yeah. Right? That makes sense.
He might – I don't know how good of a fielder he is, but judging by what he did tonight, he might come out late in games. They might put McLeod in left and then, you know, let him be sort of a defense
player. How is he on the base path? Is he like, would he be a running replacement as well or no?
No, I think he's pretty slow.
Oh, okay.
He has – in his 11-year career, he has 36 stolen bases.
Oh, yeah, he ain't going anywhere.
And he's a big guy.
Is he really? He's bigger than Jerry?
He's not particularly tall. He's only like 6 feet tall, but he's like built bigger. He's thicker than Jerry.
Okay.
He's not a Jerry Hairston lookalike.
No.
And then Wilson Ramos is coming back.
Oh my God. And how is he going to stay healthy for the rest of the season? I'm getting tired of it.
So. I hope so. The poor guy. I mean,
know.
I just feel for him.
He's so good. When he plays, he's incredible. It's just like, stay healthy.
I know. Oh. Well, he's like, he could hit 20 home runs.
He really could. He could probably be one of the, like a Molina type.
Well, I don't know if he's going to hit like the 330. That
true, but he's going to be offensive.
He certainly is. But the thing about it is, you know, is the hand surgery going to keep him from having the power he had, right? Because without the power, he's not the same offensive guy. He's not like a big on-base guy. And so hopefully it doesn't take his power away too much. You know, we'll see. I'm just happy that, like, good for Sandy Leon to help out and, you know, cheer for him when he's out there. But he hasn't been a good replacement as a backup, right?
Right.
And Lobatone's done great. Lobatone's had a bad week or two, but Lobatone's got
he's really done great. Of all the players, I think I've been the most impressed with how much he stepped up. For what he had to take on. That guy was just supposed to be in the minors, pretty much working that staff out.
Well, you know, I think they did bring him in, assuming for Lobatone to be, you know, the number one backup.
Oh, but, I guess you're right.
But yeah, for him to have over a 700 OPS, what else do you want? I mean, this guy is not, you know, so he's got a consistent on-base percentage over his last 2 years of just around 320. It's almost 330 right now. I'm happy with that.
And he's catching the best staff in baseball.
Well, he's certainly got them going on the defensive side.
You know, overall, though, with the whole league, I have to say, just based off just looking at the standings, no teams are, like, incredibly good or incredibly bad this year.
No, it looked like the Braves were running away with it early. We all said, well, that pitching staff is going to settle in, and they did.
Yeah.
The Yankees looked really good for a while, but their run differential is awful. It's negative. It's one of the worst in the league.
19, good Lord.
The Giants and the A's are probably – and maybe the Rockies are the two or three best-looking teams. And then
the A's look so good, man. Their team just works, and that guy – I was looking at their pitching staff. That guy, Sonny Gray, I think he's going to be an incredible pitcher, that guy. Oh, my God.
People love him. Love him.
And I'm blown away.
And Derek Norris, the former Nat, is looking like he can probably not be a platoon hitter anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he? He came up as a catcher, wasn't he? Is he still a catcher?
He's still a catcher.
Wow.
He's still a catcher. Yep. And, yeah, they're looking good. I mean, you know, you wonder what would happen if Josh Reddick ever hits for them.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But they got Cespedes. They got Donaldson.
Donaldson's an awesome player.
Jed Lowry at short.
Yeah.
You know, but mostly they have a pitching staff.
Yeah. Their pitching is ridiculous. And they play in a humongous park, so.
Well, Scott Kazmir's doing awesome for them.
Is he really? He's back?
Scott Kazmir. I mean,
remember when he was the best pitcher in baseball? Yeah.
Or one of the best. And, you know, I don't think he was actually in the Cy Young contention. But everybody's like, man, this guy's so good. And the Rays suck so much. The Devil Rays suck so much. It's such a waste. And then he just disappeared.
Wow.
And he went to the Dodgers, I think. And he was on Cleveland.
The Mets, I think, for a time.
He was all right on Cleveland last year. Not good, but
that's
not
right.
Bad.
He was on Cleveland.
But this year, he's just been great with Oakland. So
good
for him. He's only 30, which is like, it's hard to believe.
I'm surprised how good Colorado's playing.
Yeah, well, Tulowitzki's batting like 7,000, right?
Yeah, what is it for? Isn't he batting like 407?
So this is one of my favorite, you know, like.
408, sorry.
He's batting .408, .512 on base, which think
God
about that means.
Damn.
That means more than half the time he gets up, he gets on base.
Wow.
But, and this is one of the things that I love, if you look at his home versus away. So, away, he's batting .250 with a .377 on base and a .518 slugging. So that's still awesome.
Yeah.
But at home, .596 average.
Jesus.
.667 on base. He gets on base two-thirds of the time he's at home, and he's slugging .106. So his OPS at home, .773.
Wow.
And his OPS away is .895, which is still awesome, but Something about I heard that might be considered a hitter's park. I don't know.
Oh, and there's also we'll get back to next, but there's one more player I want to talk about that it has blown me away. Jose Abreu is the next superstar in this league. He is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's all right. So I as you know, he is my starting first baseman.
Oh, he is. I did not know. God.
So I'm not gonna say. I didn't think he would be good, but I want you to keep in mind that this is not the first player that has come up, you know, in
what,
April.
This hot?
Well, maybe not 10 home runs. I think that might have been a record, but, you know, there are plenty of guys that look really good in April and then by...
All right. I'll have to watch him because he looks like he has the power to be like a force. He's huge. No. He's a big frame guy. I love it.
No, he definitely does. But I'm trying to remember. There was a guy. Oh, I can't remember his name. It was a redheaded guy on the Tigers that came up like 2 or 3 years ago. Maybe it was more than that. Uh-huh. Maybe it was like 4 or 5 years ago. And he hit like 8 home runs.
And everyone was hype on him?
Everybody's like, oh, that's the greatest player ever. And then... pretty much doesn't play anymore.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen with Abreu, but you know, let's see how it happens a couple times around the league.
Gotcha.
Right?
That's true.
And I will think of that guy's name, you know, 10 minutes from now.
Kevin Moss.
Kevin Moss did it in August 1 year, I think.
He did. Oh, what about that guy who was on the Cubs at like 3 home runs? Tuffy Rhodes.
Tuffy Rhodes.
Everyone thought he was so hot, and then nothing.
These things happen. So, I mean, Abreu, on the other hand, was considered a great, great player from Cuba. You know, he's a guy that came over from Cuba, and so he was a superstar there. So,
well, he's looking pretty good. But let's go to...
Well, we have one more guy.
Who am I forgetting?
Ryan Zimmerman.
Oh, the face of the franchise.
So I don't think he's going to be back in the next week or two,
right.
But in the, let's say 2 to 3 week time frame, he'll be back.
Wow. So he goes back to third and Rendon goes back to second?
Ian Desmond better start hitting. Or Danny Espinosa. Play shortstop. I don't think – so I had a Twitter conversation.
Espinosa's going to win Comeback Player of the Year this year, I think.
He might, although what's his name down in Atlanta has a – Aaron Harang.
Yeah, Aaron Harang, yeah.
I mean, Espinosa's been amazing.
Amazing.
And hopefully he learned his lesson about not telling the team when he's hurt.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
I don't think Espinosa is going to get Desmond's job yet. Now, let's talk in a month if Espinosa is still hitting the way he's hitting now. Then you might have something to talk about, you know.
Right.
But at this point, I mean, I don't really think Desmond's job is in danger. I had a Twitter conversation with somebody about this, and they were like, "Oh yeah, you know, if Espinosa keeps doing this, Desmond's job is." When Zimmerman comes back. But Desmond's basically been – so I looked, and in terms of like WAR and VORP and those value that look at offensive value mostly, top 5 shortstop in the league the last 2 years offensive value, nobody else in the entire league was top 5 in terms of value in 12 and 13. And so you can make the case that he's the best offensive shortstop – in baseball the last 2 years.
Interesting. Wow.
I'm not saying that he definitely was.
Right, right.
But because Hanley was hurt, because Tulo was hurt, he really kind of was. Each of those guys had a year where they were great, and Reyes had a bad year, and so he actually was. So he's not going to lose his job in May, I don't think.
Right.
At the same time, I think what could be a big help is when Zimmerman comes back, Desmond can get a couple of days off without them really worrying.
That makes sense.
Sit, relax, get yourself together. and, you know, try not to make a big deal out of it. Try and be like, oh, well, he's just getting a day off. But, in fact, be like, get your S together kind of thing.
Right. Okay.
So I'm super excited to see the team that is fourth or so in runs scored get Ryan Zimmerman back.
Yeah.
And Wilson Ramos, because as good as Lobaton has been, if Ramos is Ramos, he's better.
That's true. That is so true. And having Zimmerman back with a pop in the lineup, God. I mean, there was no problems with his hitting, even though he was hurt.
No. He was, I'm going to pull up the numbers right now. When he got put on the shelf, he had 37 plate appearances. He was batting .367.
Wow.
Slugging .636.
All right,
home runs.
I'm into that.
Yeah, he's the only guy other than Zach Walters and Scott Hairston whose stats currently have an OPS over 1,000. Huh. I'm excited to get him back. I'm excited to get the lineup back, everybody but Bryce.
Right, of course.
But as long as they keep scoring runs, you know, it kind of would be nice for them to be locked into a, I'm not saying five games ahead of the Braves, but just clearly one of the top four or five teams by record in the NL, which they are right now, although it's not so clear because so many teams are bunched up. Uh-huh. But by the time Bryce gets back, if they're like they clearly look like one of the playoff teams this year, then he doesn't have to feel that kind of pressure on himself to make this team better.
Right.
He just has to go be himself, and the team's already winning without him.
Right.
I don't expect them to be five games ahead of the Braves at that point, although
that would be pretty nice.
I'd love it if they were.
That would be pretty nice.
Not going to say it would be a bad thing, but they've been so good without him that I'm not that worried.
Got it. All right, so you have here LOBs versus runs.
Oh, yes. I wrote an article a few days ago. It was actually the very end of April. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of complaining on Twitter about men left on base. And they lost a game like 2 weeks ago where they scored three runs and they left 14 guys on base. And I think the final score was 3-4 or 3-5. And you're just like, it's frustrating as hell to watch that.
Right.
But basically, I took all the NL – I didn't go in-depth with the stats. I just took the NL rankings, like where each team ranked from the last 10 years, 2004 to 2013, and saw where they ranked in the runs scored and where they ranked in men left on base.
Huh. Yeah, and I'm looking at the stats here. I'll put this in the show notes for anyone who's listening and wants to check this out.
Yeah, so if you, the real quick and dirty is if you go to the first chart that I have there, mm-hmm. The teams that scored the top five or six in runs had the top – they were highest in men left on base as well.
Wow.
And then there's like a middle pack of like 7 to 11 in terms of run – 7th best in terms of run score to 11th. And they're sort of in the middle of the men left on base. And then the bottom in runs scored are the bottom in men left on base.
Huh.
And when I say bottom in men left on base, I mean they're leaving the least amount of people on base. And so it sort of suggests that in order to score a lot of runs, you end up leaving a lot of
guys on base. Yeah.
And if you go down to the next chart, I said, well, let me see what on base percentage has to do with that. Because you would think, the more you get on base, the more you leave on base. And that's an even better – like if you look at that.
Yeah, look at that. That trend
is more
exactly perfect.
And so you go, well, for all the people that go, well, I don't care about on base percentage, I just put in the last chart there so everybody understands why if you ask any like super sabermetrician guy, like what's the one normal stat that's the most important stat, it's on base percentage.
Yeah, always.
If you look at that chart, it's insane how well it lines up to.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The team that scores the most runs has the highest on-base percentage. Now, the reason I did it over 10 years was it was quick exercise because I'm just talking about like a few stats.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to sort of weed out any noise of 1 year where somebody doesn't have a high on-base but scores a lot of runs or whatever. And so when you – what I said at the beginning is if you did – instead of the 15 teams in the NL for most of this time over 10 seasons, which is 150 seasons, if you did it for 1,000 seasons or 5,000 seasons, you'd see that correlation to be even stronger. Now, I've never really dove into that kind of like robust.
Right, right.
But people
but it
have.
Makes sense.
People have, which is why the stat guys love on base. So, you know, the takeaway was like watching the Nats leave guys on base still sucks. But when somebody says to you like, oh, this team doesn't hit with runners in scoring position or they leave guys on base, it's just kind of BS. It's very what's the word? It's like it's like almost the recency effect or whatever. Like you see them leave people on base and you're like, oh, they can't score runs because they leave too many people on base. But the teams that score runs leave people on base.
Right.
And so it's just worth remembering that. Doesn't make it any more fun to watch them do it.
No, but after seeing this, like you definitely are like, how can you ever complain if they leave guys on base? I feel like they need to.
Yeah, if they don't leave enough guys on
base. Yeah, they ain't going to score.
Yeah. You know, it's just an interesting – when you think about it, it's one of those things like sometimes these statistical things you think about it and you're like, I don't get it. But this one does. It's like the more guys you get on base, the more you score. The more guys you get on base, the more you leave on base because you're still only going to score a certain percentage of them even if you're the best team in baseball. So the teams that score the most runs leave the most guys on base. I get it.
So now I have another question for you. Where in the world is Ross Stadtweiler?
Did you like my VGA graphic?
I did. I was like, did he use some Photoshop here? Did he have like some kind of program?
That is all Microsoft Paint.
Look at that. Wonderful job.
Thank you. That's what I was up doing.
It made it very enjoyable and brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah, I, if you've ever played the old Carmen Sandiego, this was before there was a TV show and Rockapella. There was a computer game that I used to play on like – I don't remember if it was on – I don't think it was on my Commodore 64. It might have been on my cousin's Apple II.
Yeah, it looks like Apple.
And so – I talked a little bit about how Detweiler hasn't pitched and how it's kind of a mystery. So
that was weird. I didn't even notice it when you brought up the example about how he was there to come in, but he didn't go to him.
Yeah. So the whole time, the last few weeks, people have been complaining over Twitter, and Williams has been like, "Yeah, I really got to find a time to put him in." Well, when I was watching the 3-hour rain delay, and they were like, "Hey, we're actually going to come back from this rain delay," I'm like, there's no way Zimmerman's coming back in because it's been a 3-hour delay. So clearly they're going to put in Detweiler, right? Because it's only the fifth inning. He's got to pitch 3 or 4 innings. But nope, they didn't put him in. And so then I was like, well, now I know who's starting tomorrow. If they didn't put him in, it's going to be Detweiler. And nope, it was Blake Treinen. And look, Treinen did great. So I'm not going to complain about the choice. And the Nats bullpen did great. They went 5 innings, 5 different pitchers, and didn't give up a run, unlike the bullpen tonight. So one thing you could say is he burned through his bullpen last night, but they got the win. So I'm not going to complain too much about that. But it's like, what are you going to use Detweiler for?
They got to trade him.
Yeah, but if you want to trade him, then let him pitch so that people can actually see
him. True. That's true as well.
What's
going on?
So then today he goes in and he gives up 2 bombs and 4 earned runs. Well, guess what? Before today, over the last 2 weeks, he'd had 2 appearances. He pitched 2 1/3 inning. And so what do you expect, you know?
Right.
So
I just got the pop-up. Dodgers beat Nationals.
Yes, they did.
That's a live. That's a live reaction right there.
Live reaction. Home with the long sigh.
All right, continue on.
So
Detweiler, what do we need to do with him? Like, I don't even know.
They don't want to start him because they called up Treinen.
Right.
They don't want to. I don't know why they didn't use him in long relief. If a 4 inning start from a pitcher isn't your definition of like it's time for a long reliever. Uh-huh. They brought in 5 relievers, 1 to pitch each inning.
Wow.
I don't get it. So I have no idea what the heck they're doing with that Weiler.
Yeah, I don't really know it either. But you have now the next two we can pretty much talk about because I think they're the best two on the team right now. That would be Anthony Rendon and Adam LaRoche.
So we already touched on how great Rendon is. I mean, he's got to be – he's going to the All-Star game.
Yeah, it has to be. And I think Adam LaRoche makes a case to be at that All-Star game.
Adam LaRoche is actually hitting better than Rendon.
Yeah.
He's been used a little bit less, though.
How many? How much more less?
Just like 10 or 15.
25 less plate appearances. Wow.
And if you look at his splits, it's very interesting. He has 83 at bat or 97 plate appearances versus righties and only 27 versus lefties. And so they are resting him versus lefties. Now, he still has good numbers against lefties.
Right.
He's batting .318 against lefties, but that's only 7 hits out of 22. So, you know.
His on base is ridiculous.
Yeah. He's great. He, you know, I always said he needs to be platoon, but he can be. Effective, I guess is the word I used, against righties. He's been more than effective. He's been great.
Right.
And if he keeps it up, like, all season, they'll be so thrilled. But I like the fact, and I think they're doing it smartly, I think they're keeping him away from lefties as much as they can.
That's good.
And I like that.
I like it, too.
And so I'm just thrilled with both of them. I think they are, at this point, I don't think either of us named them, but at this point, you have to figure they're probably the closest thing to all-star candidates for this team right now.
Yeah. Them two and maybe Jason Worth because of popularity.
Well, Worth still has a .380 on base. So,
yeah.
Other than LaRoche, he's got the best on base in the team.
Right.
LaRoche is hitting .324, though, and people will see that stat. Gio's probably been the best starting pitcher.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a sub-3 ERA. He's got a 3-2 record, most wins. So you can make the case for Gio. Surprisingly, and no Nats fan would probably agree with this after watching him because it's torture to watch him. But Rafael Soriano has 6 saves.
That's true.
No losses and a 0 ERA.
That is true. He has looked good when he's come. I mean,
who else they could pull in? Drew Storen. Sub one ERA. He's got basically the same. I mean, both Soriano and Storen are around 11 or 12 innings, so they haven't pitched a lot. But if they're looking for, you know, nowadays they look for a good amount of relievers because they figure they're gonna, you know, they want to win the game, so they want to pitch a closer type guy an inning.
Right.
They could bring Storen or Soriano.
That's true. They'll definitely bring Soriano. Makes sense.
Yeah, I think Soriano's got a good case to make the All-Star team. I haven't really looked at what the rest of the what the league has done, like the competition, but a 0.00 ERA is that's considered pretty good.
It's pretty good.
God, he's torturous to watch, though.
All right, so are we going to play that right now? We're going to say goodbye and then go straight to it.
Let's do our traditional sign-off.
All right.
We'll play Heavy Bells.
Heavy Bells.
And then you guys can listen to me and Colm at the park.
All right.
So you can find Colm at Culmination on Twitter.
Yep.
And you can find me at Nationals Review.
And you can go to the website at thenationalsreview.com. You go to iTunes, look up the Nationals Review podcast, and you can subscribe there.
Yes, we love it if you go on iTunes.
Love it.
Even if you've already listened to it, even if you don't want to use iTunes and
it's
just in the background. If you download it on iTunes, that's good for us. It's not like we're making any money, but it makes it more popular. And
write a review there if you have time during the day.
Or star us or whatever.
Yes, 5 stars only.
Just Google, actually, not Google, if you type in Nationals Review, or if you type in iTunes, the Nationals Review podcast, it should come up, the Nationals Review podcast.
All right, so we hope you enjoy the extra footage if you want to listen to it after. If not, we will speak to you soon, and we'll see you at the park.
See you at the park. I know that old fifth dollar is gone. I know that old fifth dollar is gone. The heavy bell!
everyone, and welcome back to the Nationals Review. My name is Colm, and this is episode 31, the official podcast of thenationalreview.com. And I am actually sitting and coming to you live from Nats Park in section 139, which is in our seats, but I'm not alone. I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend, the voice of thenationalreview.com, Charlie Slegel.
How you doing, Colm? We're sitting here. We're going to do the podcast a little differently today because we can't have as much back and forth banter since we only have one microphone. But
lean in.
Lean in, son. We've got some other guests here. We have Nats Park, Nats Review, excuse me, t-shirt designer at SA51, Adrian Mentis. Hello, Adrian.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Adrian took a lot of time to design those t-shirts that are on thenationalsreview.com/gear. And I'm wearing my silhouette of left-handed batter t-shirt tonight at the park. Check the Twitter. Colm, we're watching Taylor Jordan throw right now. What do you see? What do you think?
All right. I've always been curious about this. This is a normal pregame pitching routine. They get to, from second base to home plate, I guess, and throw.
Yeah, it's a little bit of long toss, I guess.
Long toss. Now, can you explain to me why that's so important right before the game?
You know, I think everybody's got their routines, and everybody does it differently, but Jordan seems to be a kind of guy that wants... He does look loose. He also looks like he's about 30 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, he definitely weighs less than me, it looks like. Just a lot taller, though. He looks pretty tall.
He's tall and skinny. And when he first ran out, I thought it might have been Zach Walters, who is the skinniest person I have ever seen hit a ball to the moon.
Oh, you know what? I forgot. What are we drinking?
Oh, my God. We are drinking. We're at the park. We forgot to mention that. Colm, let me reference the Nats Park beer guide. I was here last week and refilled the beer guide, as it were.
That's right,
retweeted it. You can find that on the website. And we all headed to get burgers first at Shake Shack. How was yours?
Absolutely incredible. A double, I had to. You smarter because you want to try more options.
I went with the single so that I can then eat something else bad for me later. But it's kind of a rainy night. We're here on Tuesday night against the Angels.
I don't know if I say a rainy night now.
It doesn't look rainy at all, but the crowd looks like a rainy night. There is nobody here.
No one here. Should be no problem getting home tonight for anyone from the ballpark.
Unfortunately, none of us metroed, so we'll be driving home. So we won't even be able to take advantage of the lack of crowds. But, after we did the Shake Shack, we made a beeline to a District Drafts. Actually, I did. Adrian and...
I was lazy.
Coleman, what did you get, Adrian?
Summer Shandy.
Line and Kugel's getting some play on our normally very
micro-brewed
focus. Well, with Colm, it's actually micro-brew / Mike.
Contact me.
Mike's Hard Lemonade, unofficial malt beverage sponsor. So, Colm, let's talk a little bit about the Nats right now. The big story this weekend was the Harper Hustle thing. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it.
You can say what beer you got.
Oh.
You said, Summer Shandy.
My apologies to the local. Colm is right. I did not say what beer I got. To the local brewers, I went right for the. I went with the three-star.
ABA.
Three-star ABA, and it is amazing. I love it. I was a little hesitant because I'd never tried any of them, and not hesitant, just didn't know which one I wanted, but. I think it's a really good beer. I really like it.
It will be my second beer of the night. I need to hurry up or he will start making fun of me, too. So.
He has to finish his Summer Shandy quickly so that he can get an ABA. I, on the other hand, drove here, so that will be my only beer tonight. Colm did not drive, so he will have several beers.
We'll check in with you in later innings. So.
Yeah, maybe we'll turn the mic back on after the game and see how Colm sounds. But, so back to the Nat story, The big thing was the Harper Hustle issue. I don't want to spend nearly as much time as has already been spent on it. I'll give you my quick 2-second take, and you can give me yours. I think what happened, what we found out, when it first happened, I kind of shook my head and said, I don't like it. We found out later that apparently Williams told the team that if the next person that doesn't run out a grounder
which
we didn't know.
We're looking at FP and Bob right now.
The windows, only once the window's open.
That's right. The media area is boarded up tight for the rain. So Matt Williams said he was going to bench somebody. You know what? If he didn't bench Harper, he'd risk losing some respect in the clubhouse for having a double standard. So it was an unfortunate incident. I don't think it's something that's going to make Harper suddenly realize the magnitude of what he's been doing or change as a person. I don't buy that, but hopefully he'll at least think twice about that. And that's about it. To me, it's done. People are still talking about it like it's a big issue. I personally don't think it is, but I could be wrong. What do you think?
In my opinion, he did what every human being would do when that. He did what every other person would do. You hit it, you messed up, and he's just going to go and not run it out. And he just had an off day, and he was upset. He let his emotions on his sleeve. How about that?
I tend to agree. All right. Now, SA51 on Twitter, what do you have to say about this?
I believe that it was a ball that regardless if he ran it out, he could have gotten maybe 20 feet before he would have been thrown out anyway. And they pretty much pulled him with when he had two more times up, and they could have won that game for them. So he basically lost them a game by pulling them.
Good job, I thought. Kevin Ferguson had a big hit in the game.
Adrian does bring up a point that to prove a point, Williams could have done something that cost them the game.
You'll never know.
Coleman's just pointing out players on the field that are on the Angels incorrectly and yelling them out. This is what the podcast has turned into. All right, so what else do we have going on?
Denard Span
is back.
Back in number one hole, too. How did you feel? I really liked the Anthony Rendon number one.
If Span is right, so I've seen a lot of complaints actually on Twitter about Span leading off. He's a fast guy, so he's automatically slotted in leadoff, even though he doesn't have a good on base. When Span is right, he's got plenty of on base to be a leadoff hitter. He just hasn't been hitting right. I'm just happy he had a really bad concussion issue with the Twins, and I'm just happy that what happened with him was very minor and that he's back and he's fine, because he is he's a plus-plus defensive player. And they're a better team when he's playing.
I agree with that. Not having him in center field did worry me sometimes.
Now, yeah, and McLeod to me he's not a horrible center fielder, but he's not good. He makes up for bad plays with speed. Now, what you were asking me about Rendon,
yes.
As long as I get to see him in the first inning or two, I'm happy.
Yeah. But where do you love him in your lineup?
Everywhere.
No, come on.
I like him at a number two.
Realize what he's playing tonight. I don't
right, so he's batting cleanup tonight, which I think you and I both agree that although lineup construction is overblown, you do want your real power hitters hitting third and fourth, right?
Right. You're going to hope that Denard gets on. You're hoping your second guy gets on. You're hoping there's people on base.
Right. So in terms of power, Rendon isn't exactly their big power hitter. Like, he's got a beautiful swing, and he's a great hitter.
Contact. You know what he reminds me a lot of? And tell me if you agree with this. When I watch him, I think Wade Boggs.
Yeah, I mean, more power than Wade Boggs, but, like, you like his...
Yeah, where he's putting the ball now. It's, like, crazy.
No, he's definitely got just the ability to get on base and make contact.
All-star pace right now, do you think?
Right now, yeah, he's an all-star.
Wow.
Especially if he's considered a second baseman.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I didn't think of that. Sun is really coming out.
So, he's batting fourth tonight. I don't love him at fourth because he's not the kind of power hitter that you really want there. But the Nats are facing a lefty tonight. LaRoche is out, which I love. You know I love that. Not because, look, LaRoche has been awesome this year.
I want to see what the team's going to be without him. Type of thing.
And I don't want him batting against tough lefties.
Right. That's true. I didn't think about that. Tyler Skaggs, yeah.
So, yeah, Tyler Skaggs is pitching.
I would have rather Rendon batting second and Bryce batting fourth.
Well, so where's Bryce batting tonight?
Seven.
So they're stacking their lefties lower, but they still let Span lead off.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Which is a little odd to me because Span is not a great hitter against lefties either. So if you're going to have this two lineup scenario where you move Harper down and you sit LaRoche, which I love sitting LaRoche when there's a tough lefty up, why does Span still get to lead off? That's what I don't get. So Harper's batting sixth tonight, and then they go Span leading off, Espinosa's batting second, which he's been playing so good. Old hitting spot, and he's a switch hitter. And then you have Worth, Rendon, and Desmond, all righties, batting before Harper. I don't mind that lineup.
Yeah, so wait, where is...
And then Leon is batting eight.
Batting eight. Yeah, what are you going
to do? So you would love to have... You would wonder if Ramos was in and healthy, if he would bat ahead of Harper.
That's a really good question.
Now, I don't need to move Harper up and down as much as Williams seems to. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't understand. Just put him somewhere and let's go. Then a month later, change it.
Every day it's
something different.
Yeah, and quite frankly, like, I get the
lineup, though.
Yeah, he can't seem to settle on a lineup. And, again, I don't want to overblow the importance of lineup construction, but players are people of routine, right?
True. Do you think maybe he's trying to go with different lineups depending on what type of pitcher he's getting?
Yeah, I think he's definitely doing some of that. He's definitely got his righty lineup and his lefty lineup, but there's so much variation in those lineups. It's like, is he going to bat Bryce seventh against every lefty or sixth?
Right. That's just what. How is that beneficial to him getting less at bats?
Right. And so Bryce, I don't think, is that bad against lefties. I mean, he hasn't been great against lefties, but he's a young hitter who's getting better. Like, I don't need him batting that far down.
Question for you. If Bryce ends the year with less at bats than he did last year, is he not moving forward?
Well, hopefully that won't happen because, I mean, he had like 450 last year. And batting seventh in the lineup against lefties isn't going to put him down that far. But at the same time, he could be healthy all year and not get 600 plate appearances if he's moved down far enough in the lineup.
True.
So that would be bad for his development, if you ask me.
Right. I don't know. I want him to be up in the lineup getting the at-bat, so he's just getting better. I don't understand why he's not even there right now.
I agree. I'd be fine with him 2-5 tonight, but 6 seems a little low.
I'm upset.
Colm is upset.
The music is way too loud. It's like America right now.
We are so amped right now for nothing. They're playing the most amped music ever, and what are they doing on the field?
Nothing. They're stretching.
The, what's his name? Saved by the Bell.
Shrek? I think you mean Screech, I believe you mean. All right, it's... We're going to have to take a break now because it is time for the national anthem.